You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in beautiful sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button, get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, we also broadcast it on 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 on the FM dial. And then, of course, we share all of the pictures and all of the bios of all of our guests on our social media pages, which are Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then we have our website, which is Sita Media Inc. Again, where all of the 15 years of shows are housed and archived that you can search by name, date, title, idea.
Yeah. And by the way, Ellen, I'm looking at your hair. It looks really lovely.
Thank you.
Did you have a cut?
I did.
It looks great.
I did.
You look beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Well, for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we have the honor and the privilege of sitting here on Mondays and hosting our show here on Viewpoint called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We've got Ellen O'Neill, who is my co-host forever. Gosh, O'Neill, it's been what? 15.5 years.
At least.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we have
16 since we had breakfast.
That's right. That's right. Allie Tambor is a friend of our show, and she comes by and cheers us on. And our guest today, my good friend Marianne Creighton, is calling in from North Carolina, Mateo, which I know a lot about Mateo because my friend owns a big Christmas store out there. And in studio, we have the Brevard County Supervisor of Election, Mr. Tim Bobanek. And he brought with him the lovely Kimberly. Thank you for being here. So for our listeners who are tuning into our show for the first time, we sit here on Mondays and we speak to people in Brevard County, around Brevard County, the state of Florida, anywhere in the United States and the world. And we speak to people who would like to leave a good footprint behind on planet Earth, just like I do. We speak to folks who want to speak about financial literacy, credit card debt, writing a book, graduations. Some folks want to talk about maybe solar energy. They want to talk about how to have more sustainability thinking in the United States, write a book, sell a book, maybe even write a journal. Whatever it is you want to do and you think you have a good platform and you want to be part of a show, we allow you to do that, knowing well that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And so Danny wouldn't let us stay here, or Kim, if we were not nice, correct?
That's right.
And Marianne, I want to say, is a friend of mine. She's been on the show before. She's an author. She has been a counselor, a professional counselor with over 20 years. She specializes in speaking to children and youth, and she's an author. She's a public speaker. She just launched her own podcast, and I've been following her adventures on Facebook. She just came back from a long trip. And she's on the phone, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about her new books. And with so many children getting ready for school, we'll talk a little bit about her book series as well. So, Marianne, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Oh, Sita, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you.
You know what? You've been one of the folks on our show that once you came on, everything you say and everything you do speak to us through your actions. And I do believe that children learn through us and our stories. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in writing. But first, I want to hear a little bit about your counseling.
Well, I've counseled, many people, from children to lack of mental health. But the biggest thing that I want every individual to know is that they have a safe place to talk about their feelings. And whether I'm working with kids or adults, let me tell you, sometimes it's really difficult to figure out what am I feeling. And so we work a lot with that. And, you know, I like how you said leaving a footprint. I think that that's so important, the legacy that we leave behind with our kids as parents. You know, what do we want to leave? Because our children are our legacy, and what they do and what they grow up to do, it shows. And in this world today, kindness goes so far.
Yeah. Well, you know, having children does not come with a handbook, right? And a lot of us, looking at how our children raise their kids, we're like, well, wait a minute, I didn't do it like that. Because, and I could only speak, you know, as an immigrant who had the opportunity to immigrate to this wonderful country and be here and be part of the fabric of this nation and this society. I could say that, you know, it's different how people are raising kids today. We've got social media, we've got the cell phones, we've got the stories that are handed down from one generation to another, but every parent is different. Like, I was always a parent that believed in reading. And then I look on social media this morning and I saw CBS News is reporting that the reading level in the United States has dropped so horribly. And I'm sad because to me, what you do, what I do, without reading, where would we be? And I'm very concerned for our nation. I would like to see a nation where reading, writing, arithmetic, and penmanship be number one, two, three, and four again. I'm sure see that as well.
Oh, I used to help tutor immigrants and asylees and refugees. And I went up in Baltimore, and I went up into their library, and I was in shock. Their library held maybe 20 books in it. And as I was tutoring, I'd say, hey, give me your textbook. Let me see, you know, and they would say, oh, we don't have textbooks. And they would just have some, you know, worksheets in their binder, and I would help them. I was so sad to see that our society has gone down. I mean, to like 20 books in a library, I was in shock. I'm like, we're in America, right? And so the books that I write, my whole theory of the whole thing was like, I want to reach kids like this. I want to reach these children. How can I teach them skills, survival skills, communication skills, you know, imagination, being different? How do you work in a society that only has like a few books, right? So I started writing with the intent of like, I want to reach these kids so they can learn these skills. But then I realized, you know what? They go home. And mom and dad have no idea what they're reading, and they're going to learn everything from mom and dad. That's just the way it is. So when I wrote these books, I put parenting tips in the back, hoping that when they are purchased, mom and dad have to read it to them because they're at that age level, you know, probably between 4 and 8. And that at the end, maybe mom and dad can have some tips, because you're right. Ideas for parents, oh my goodness, we don't have a handbook. We don't have a checklist. I wish we did, but we don't, right? So when I work with my clients or whoever, I'm like this. Look, I lay my cards on the table. You know, you can pick them up. If they work for you, great. If they don't, that's okay. I call myself a sparky. I have lots of sparks, only a few light a fire, right? And so when I'm doing it, I'm like, here's your idea. If it works, great. If not, then let's figure out something else. Because parents are lost. I was lost. I was like, how do I be a parent? I'm like, gosh, I have this kid. What do I do? And I went to counseling so that I could figure out, what do I do with my children, you know?
Well, you know, you get to a point where you think that new parents should actually have a class just before the child is born about the importance of reading. Because you can't tell the child to read if you're not reading yourself.
Right.
We live by example. You have to be able, you know, because that's exactly what's happening. And it's very sad, because when people don't read, they listen to what other people says.
Yes. Well, I had this old lady come up to me one time, and she said to me, Marianne, would you want your kids to treat themselves the way you treat yourself? And I was like, like a 2x4 across the forehead because I wasn't taking care of myself at all. And I was like, no, I'm giving my kids everything. I want to da-da-da-da, you know? And she just looked at me, and I left with that thought. Kids catch more than they ever, ever hear me say. Self-care is the number one thing that I promote every time I talk to anybody. How are you taking care of yourself? Are you mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? Where are you at in these categories? Because your kids are going to catch what you do. And if they see you taking care of yourself in these categories, they're going to catch it. They're going to do it. And they're going to grow. And I truly believe we can create a society that is amazing if we want to change.
Well, Marianne, so I've been looking at your book, your stories with Marianne. And on the book, First Day of School, that's a very heartwarming story about... Yeah. Really and truly calming people's nerves, right? But I feel like that book is written for children who are entering pre-K or kindergarten. But, you know, there's a lot of adults that need a book first day of work too. Because I see a lot of nurses and nursing assistants, you know, because I've been a nurse for so long. And you would be shocked the first day jitters that these folks, even though they've gone through professional training, like it's you walk into a job or you walk into a school and the first thing is, am I going to fit in?
Yes.
And I think that's what happened to our children, too, in your book, First Day of School. So talk to us a little bit. What gave you the idea to write that book?
And I work with anxiety a lot from kids to adults. Like you said, anxiety is huge. And actually came up with a thought with my children themselves. I used to draw these little fuzzies and I would tell my kids stories as we were driving because back then we, you know, didn't have what we have now. And my kids would be like, okay, tell me a story. And I would tell them a story. So when I wrote The First Day of School, I thought about parents and I thought about kids. And sometimes it's hard for the parent to let go of their kids to go into school. And kids can be very scared. And so what I have seen is, you know, parents start telling children what to do instead of getting into their world. Hey, it looks like you're really scared. Let's talk about that. I was scared the first day I went to school too. And so it goes into like being vulnerable. I love Brené Brown. She talks about vulnerability and how vulnerability is actually courage. And we have to have vulnerability to be courageous. And for so many of our parents, we have to be vulnerable with our children so that they can see, hey, we're human too. And when we're vulnerable, they become courageous. Yeah. And
I love how you used the car as a place for stories, because when I got off the flight yesterday, I was telling my grandson, I went to see my grandson, and I was telling him the importance of reading because this week I'm on a kick for reading. And I said, oh, in the airport, it says make a L-E-F-T left, but I made a R-I-G-H-T right. And he goes, oh, no. And what happened? So then I had to come up with a story. I said, well, I made the right, and I end up in terminal A for apple instead of terminal B for bat. And I'm coming up with the stories how I got lost. And he goes, oh, no, how did you find your way back? And I said, well, because I know how to read. He said, I saw the sign that says, this way to Orlando. And he goes, yippee. but I think you have to show them where the letters and the sounds come together and make you live. Otherwise, you can. So he said, well, what if you were in a different airport in overseas? I said, then I guess I won't come home. You know, so he said,
good question.
So he was happy. But I noticed in your other book, the one you wrote about acceptance, in Good Morning Baby Bird, you took a different turn with that. So tell us the idea behind that book about the acceptance in that one and finding your place and where you belong.
Yes. So in this one, it's about being different. And oh my goodness, if we look at being different, people don't want to be different. We want to conform to society. And so this little baby bird goes through all of these different baby birds and can't find its mommy. And we have this cute little girl who says, I will help you find your mom. And, you know, it's those special people in the world who come out and say, I will help you, that make a difference. And that little girl in this book made a difference for this little bird. And she accepted all of what she saw, and the baby bird made lots of friends. And when she goes back home, she's like, Dad says, how was your day? And she's like, you know, I met so many families, but my family's the favorite. Right. My favorite.
And that makes me think, you know, I was telling my friends here in the studio that at the graduation yesterday, Saturday at St. Louis University, I flew there for my godson's graduation from the university. What I saw was family. You know, everyone in that arena there, you know, people were graduating with law degrees, medical degrees, education, Bachelor of Arts, all kind. And there were so many people cheering each other on. And it was all about family. It was about organization. And I was telling Mr. Bobanek, who is the supervisor of elections for our county here in Brevard, that when they said the Pledge of Allegiance, everyone stood up with their hand over their heart, because that's what we want. Everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to be loved. And everybody wants to be a part of something for the greater good. And I thought about you as I was, you know, thinking about Allah. Yes, I'm like, that's how you are. When I saw your adventures that you just went on vacation, I forgot which country it was. Was it Australia or New Zealand?
It was Australia. Yeah. My son had a baby girl, so I went to go see my granddaughter.
Yeah, I saw you, and you made a lot of friends down there too. I mean, I could see you. I could see you writing a book about visiting a grandchild overseas too, because that's very difficult to leave and come back.
It was really difficult, but I was determined, you know, because people are people. And yes, you know, making friends along the way, for me, the biggest thing is if I can make you smile, whether it's a cashier or whether it's a nurse, I will. I carry these little cards in my purse that say, you are awesome. And I hand them out when I go somewhere, because I'm like, you know what? When you have a bad client or when you have a grumpy person, just remember, you're still awesome. And they smile and they go, thank you. You've made my day. And it makes my day to make their day.
Yeah, I like how your stories is all about making the children think and be creative. And your memories with all of these books that the children are making and you yourself, they're very powerful. Now, you also have a love for animals because you wrote a book about dinosaurs, too.
Yes, I did. And so I used to be a military family life counselor, and I worked at the CDC, which is the Child Development Center, on base. And I would go around and I would say, okay, everybody, let's put on our binoculars. And I would say, we're going to go hunting dinosaurs. A hunting we will go, a hunting we will go, looking for a dinosaur, a hunting we will go. And I would say, what do you see? And they would say, I see a dinosaur. And I would go, what color is it? And they'd say, purple. And I'd say, it's sleeping. And then we would go, oh no, it's awake, run. And all of the, you know, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds would run with me and we'd run away. And then we'd go, let's go find another dinosaur. And I had these kids, every time they saw me, from then on out, we went hunting dinosaurs. I got to a point where I was telling my husband, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm getting tired of hunting dinosaurs. Every time they see me, they just want to hunt dinosaurs. But it's the creativity and the imagination that so many parents and individuals forget. Imagination builds problem-solving skills. You know, it helps children process their feelings. It strengthens confidence. It grows empathy. We need empathy in this world. And so, you know, we just sometimes forget that it's so important to have these things.
Well, all of a sudden, if you go on TikTok or Instagram or something, you see all these professionals, mental health and coaches, they're all talking about the greatest thing you could give a child is time. It's not the toys. It's not the money in the bank. It's not the brand new car. It's the time. And I think children love when parents are silly. I mean, you start playing hide and go seek and hide behind a big tree and pretend you're a monkey or something. And the kids love it. And I this is what I see. And I know even like with my grandson, you know, I like to play with him in the parks and stuff. But what I do notice, sadly, is Brevard County, Florida, we have the most beautiful parks. We are blessed to live in Brevard. And I don't see enough children in our parks anymore. I don't see parents holding children's hand and walking. I don't see people hula hooping. I don't see people playing with a jump rope. I would like us as a nation to bring back, you know, family days, a time when you spend with your kids and not worry about selling them the money or giving them something because you think that's what make people happy. It's time.
It's memories. You know, those memories you make, they cannot be taken away. Money comes and goes, you know, but memories, they will last a lifetime. And so when we think about that, what do we think our kids see? Do they see us on the phone scrolling? Do they see us giving them the phone? Or are we actually talking to them? Are we actually interacting with them? And that is one of the biggest, I think, things that social media and everything has really taken us down a road that is harmful versus helpful. Because that's, we get sucked into it. We get sucked into scrolling. And I talk all the time about, to my adults, about blue screen. You guys need to put it down. At 7 o'clock, do not have it. You know, they're watching TV in bed. They're doing it. It's so unhealthy. Our sleep is so important. That's part of the self-care. And so our kids, they're not getting enough sleep. And, you know, screens are used as babysitters.
Yeah. And would you say sometimes authors will call us in on our show and writing can energize you or it can drain you? Which one do you find it for you? Does it energize you or drain you? Because there's so much thought processes that goes into your books because you are speaking to people all day long.
Oh, you know, I truly believe that we're given gifts. And I have been given the gift of counseling. I just believe that. And I've been given the gift to write children's stories. I just come up with them and I just write them. And it's just very different for me in the, and I love research, you know, so I am energized by my clients. I'm energized by writing these stories. I am, I don't feel burdened at all. I'll tell you what though, sometimes life feels burdened. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. I got to clean, I got to get that. And so I love what I do. You know, we just have to find what we want to do. And sometimes that means going back to when we were a little kid. What did you want to do when you were growing up? And I remember wanting to be a counselor, and I was told I wasn't smart enough. So it took a long, long time before I finally got my counseling degree. I was 48 years old when I finally got my degree because I just didn't think I was smart enough because that's what I was told.
Yes.
And so sometimes as adults, we need to go back. What did we want to do when we were little? Did we want to be a nurse? We can still be a nurse. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can still go do what you want to do. Over 70% of the population hate work. They go to work just for the paycheck and they go home.
Yeah. Well, Danny, like our producer, Danny, is shaking his head here. Look, I hope you like your job, Danny. Well, you know, I love the mission for our listeners who are tuning in. And we're speaking with author and counselor Marianne Creighton, and she is her mission is to empower young readers to discover their potential and develop pride and self-worth while giving parents meaningful tools to guide conversations at home. Now, did I read somewhere that you started a podcast as well?
Yes, I did. I have 12 episodes out, and that's basically about life. There's a lot of me in these podcasts, you know, breaking the chain of bitterness. I've gone down the road of being bitter, of being angry. There's so many things in life that we experience. How do we get through those things? And that's what these podcasts are about. How do we get through? How do we move through without, you know, through these feelings, these difficult feelings, and come out on the other side?
Well, I think faith plays a great, you know, is a big deal for me. When I feel down and about, I just have to look right there in my chest, and I see my heart, and I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. God is there. And I take five deep breaths. But I wanted to tell you that, you know, I was so touched by that graduation ceremony this Saturday that I took a screenshot of the St. Louis University mission statement. And I want to read it for our listeners, because so often we hear negative stuff instead of positive. And what it says was, the mission of St. Louis University is the pursuit of truth for the greater glory of God and for the service of humanity, which I thought was so beautiful to send so many graduates out into the world. And James Gunn, who was the commencement speaker, he said, just find your purpose. And and that's something that you speak about on your Facebook and in your books and through us here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends as well. So give us the website where people can buy your books. And with so many kids starting school in August, we'll have a lot of first graders and a lot of tears.
Well, you can go on to Amazon and purchase the books. StoriesWithMarianne.com. I'm there as well. You can go on to YouTube and find I'm doing shorts. And again, it's Stories with Marianne on TikTok as well. Just little snippets of help to encourage your day, to get you through something when life is just tough.
Before you leave, I think we have one more minute in the segment. Do you have any words of wisdom for aspiring authors or writers?
I would say, look into your heart and don't be scared to write whatever it is. If it's silly, it's okay. Sometimes we get so particular on what it is. Oh, let me say it this way. Let me say it that way. Just write and then go back and look at it and have people look at it, because sometimes what we think is silly may be exactly what somebody needs to hear.
Or you could have ChatGPT look at it and make you sound so intellectual that your friends call and say, get that post off your Facebook. It doesn't sound like you.
I know.
It makes you sound like, what the? That's not me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for the inspiration. And we will make sure that this podcast is available for everyone to download on our website. We are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. And we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Join BABA Senior Outreach for our annual Senior Support Walk and Vendor Fair. We're gathering at Wickham Park on May 23rd from 8 to noon to celebrate our seniors one step at a time. We are honored to welcome our featured guest speaker, Dr. Visa Svensson, Medical Director of Health First Aging Services, who will be sharing her expertise on senior wellness. From fresh food and light housekeeping to our Adopt-a-Senior and Companionship Program, we provide essential support for Brevard County adults age 60 and older. Come out for their giveaways, visit our senior vendors, and enter your chance to win a $500 cash prize. Your presence helps us do even more. Visit babaseniouroutreach.org to learn more, and we'll see you May 23rd from 8 to noon.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accountant.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere where people can get on that web.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, we upload and download all of the interviews and the podcasts and as well as the pictures on our website, SitaMediaInc.com, and all of our social media pages, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Great. What a great first segment we had. Very lighthearted from a sweet, humble soul, Marianne Creighton. And now our second segment is with our very own Supervisor of Elections, Mr. Tim Bobanek, who we just learned is a graduate of the University of South Florida. His son just graduated. Mr. Bobanek, you are a shining star for a lot of us here in Brevard County, Florida. A trustworthy man, a human being that walks the walk and talks the talk, and people respect you a lot. So welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure coming back on your show, hanging out with you and the friends, and there's lots to talk about the upcoming elections and
yes.
A lot of changes going on.
You know, I said to Alexa this morning, I said, the Supervisor of Elections for Brevard County, Florida is coming on my radio show today. She said, oh, Sita, you always have some interesting guests. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Bobanek. And I said, please do. And I'm like, here I go talking to Alexa. But she actually said this was one of the best counties and that our elections are so safe. And we've got a lot of backup, paper ballots. And I'm like, what a look at Alexa knows everything about Brevard.
So, I love that. I'm going to have to check that out. I've not asked Alexa about Brevard elections,
but
Alexa's very smart.
She is. If you ask her about the Brevard County elections, she gives you like a real nice overview. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize we had so much security, lots of security layers for our elections. And I'm like, what do you know? So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and you've been in office, what, around 4 years already?
Yeah, so yeah. I was appointed in 2022 by Governor DeSantis when our prior supervisor, Lori Scott, retired. However, I've been in elections since 2009, and I've actually overseen, whether it's the IT administrator side or the supervisor of elections, I've overseen 37 elections in my career. So quite a bit. I've seen a lot. Kind of like the State Farm, what is it, the commercial where they say, I've seen a lot, so we know a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, election integrity is always the most paramount aspect of my job. And having that IT background really helped me, you know, assume that role of supervisor of elections.
And so, and you've just got the one son.
I just have the one son.
One and done.
Graduated from University of South Florida. We're very excited for his future. He got a degree in finance. So we're going to see where that goes.
Right. And, tell our listeners what you said about what the president said about urn and something else.
Yes. So during the commencement speech, the university president really made a profound statement. He said, you have just completed the learn phase. Now you move on to the earn phase. So you first learn, then you earn, and then you return. So you return to your university, you return to the community, you return to society. And I think that was a very profound thing as we, you know, reminded him, you're in the earn phase now. The learning phase is done. Although I do believe that you never stop learning. You always continue to learn. But it was just kind of a profound statement that they made that really kind of hit home about the evolution of a student becoming an adult and getting into adulthood.
Yeah. And we also want to welcome Kim Bolzer to our show as well. You look lovely.
Thank you very much.
Keeping him in line.
Oh, she does.
Turning our emails and everything because we were so excited to have him. So Mr. Bobanek, I had a few questions that people sent in to me, and it seems to be like everyone is concerned about the name change or the changes in their names when they get married, from the maiden name to the married name, and how does that affect their voting? People want to vote. It is our right to exercise that right to vote. But there are so many things going on in social media where people are saying, oh, they're making it harder for you to vote. It's please check your name, blah, blah, blah. And I do feel like there's an easy fix for this, and you've got the answers.
Yes. So first off, and the most important message that I really wanted to convey is that, you know, we are referring to this House Bill 991, this recent legislative bill that passed. None of the voting aspects of this bill go into effect until January 1st of 2027. So nothing with name changes, documentary proof of citizenship, all of that, nothing affects the 2026 election cycle. We are still operating under the same rules that we have been. This goes into effect in 2027, assuming it survives all of the legal challenges which are also going on. I remember the governor signed the bill on a Friday right before lunch. I went to lunch, came back, and the lawsuits had already been filed.
Right.
So, you know, as expected, you know, something, you know, this hot topic. So, but it doesn't mean that we can't start preparing about what we need to do. And our motto has always been in the office is be election ready. It is be election ready, have a plan, know what you need to do to register to vote, where you need to vote, the three methods of voting that we have. So talking about the name change, you know, one of the big things that is part of this new legislation is that voters will have to provide documentary proof of citizenship when they register to vote. Now, that really only applies, though, because the first stage is you really have to get into the technical details of this bill. And the way the bill reads is that when a person registers to vote, their citizenship status is checked against the Department of Motor Vehicles, the DMV. Now, we've all, at this point, almost everybody in Florida has had to get a real ID compliant driver's license or ID card. You know you have a real ID compliant ID if you have a gold star on your driver's license.
Right. And if you don't, please go and get it.
Now, there's a lot of conflation between real ID and having the gold star and being a citizen. Having a gold star on your driver's license or ID does not mean you're a citizen. It means that your eligibility to be in the United States, whether you're a citizen or non-citizen, has been verified. And so it was a couple of years ago, you know, Florida really started off much earlier than the rest of the states. And the last number I heard is that 95% of driver's license holders in Florida are already real ID compliant. So if you're a U.S. citizen and you have provided all that documentation to the tax collector in our county, the DMV services, and you have that gold star, when your registration is compared, it's going to validate you and you don't have to do anything else. It's going to be that small percentage of those who are new coming into the state, new registrations, where we cannot validate the information at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, anybody new coming into Florida is going to have to provide that information. And the majority of voter registrations do come from the motor voter law, in where they register to vote when you get your driver's license.
Right.
So as long as you can validate your information, then that's not a problem. Now, if for some reason, once you register, you're unable to have that information validated, my office, according to the bill, will then have to use other sources, anything that we have access to try to validate your citizenship. If we're unable to, then we would send a notice to the voter, and that's when they would have to bring in the documentary proof.
Right.
The name change comes up because almost every married woman who has changed their name is not going to match their birth certificate. However, the law does allow you to bring a copy of your marriage certificate, or if a legal name change, married, divorce, or if you just legally changed your name, and that can simply accompany whatever documentation you have, and then we can register.
So what about the people who are divorced, but they decided to keep their ex-husband's name?
It all basically has to do with how the name appears on your driver's license.
So they can just bring in the marriage certificate for that as well.
Exactly.
Because you're just looking for a paper trail.
Right. The goal is to make sure that you are who you say you are. and that if I can validate your information, and we can see in your voter history if you've had name changes, because most married women, you know, they register to vote before they get married, and then they change their name. We can see that in the audit trail. So, you know, it's having this credible and reliable information that we
So, Mr. Bobanik, why do you think this seems to be like, I had 10 questions for me to ask you this. Why do you think this is such a huge issue right now? Because I understand you have to have, I mean, one lady said to me, she said, well, how about if I can't find my marriage certificate?
And that's going to be the challenge, right. is that if they, you know, there's been a lot of talk because you have this state bill, which the governor's calling the Florida Save Act. You know, there's been a lot of national media attention with the Federal Save Act, which has stalled in the Senate right now. And that would implement a very similar requirement nationwide. And the difficulty is for those who don't have ready access to that
documentation. Yeah, because there's a fire, there's a flood.
Exactly.
You know, you got robbed. You know, people are like, well, what if I can't find it? Then I can't vote. Well, I guess we have to figure it out.
And, you know, Florida has a lot of people that come from other states. So if that name change occurred in another state, it all depends on how easy it is to get that documentation from that other state.
So would you say then that people better start getting prepared?
That's exactly. So again, my motto is be election ready, is know where your documentation is, know where your proof of citizenship, whether it's your birth certificate, an unexpired passport, you know, for if you've had your name changed, make sure you have that legal name change documentation so that beginning January 1st, when this process really begins, that you are ready to go. We've got, right, you know, plenty of time right now to find that information. But again, I can't emphasize this enough. This has no effect on the elections this year. And there's a lot of confusion over that. And we're seeing that. That doesn't take effect until January 1st. And in Brevard County, we don't have any elections scheduled until November of 2027 after that.
So they have a lot of time to get these things. I mean, you know, if you know immigrants, which I know a lot, under the mattress, they got a lot of paper. And they've got bank accounts, birth certificates, divorce. I mean, you raise up a mattress sometime and that's where people put their stuff. So I do believe if a lot of people look, they will find what they're looking for amongst all those papers.
Certainly. And, you know, there's going to be extenuating circumstances. There's going to be issues. You know, my mother was raised in Germany and actually was married in Germany. And then when she had came to America and got her marriage license here, they actually had a misspelling on her name. And it actually caused that she had to do some work to clean that up before she got her real ID compliant driver's license. And so it's, you know, those kind of odd cases, you know, if you're married overseas, you know. So having that documentation, starting to gather that now is the best advice I can give to voters.
Right. And you touch a little bit on the three ways to vote, mail-in and all that. So let's talk a little bit because, you know, a lot of times I like to talk to people because I'm always speaking to people to get guests for a show. And I happened to strike up a conversation in Miss St. Louis, Missouri, with the lady at the front desk at the Holiday Inn. And we were talking politics. Something was on the TV. And after she gave me all her opinions, she says, oh, I don't vote. I'm like, so why are you getting involved in what's on the TV, wasting my time here about what I do for a living and this and that? And then you tell me you don't vote. So oftentimes you'll find people who makes the most noise, they are not registered to vote. They don't care to vote. They don't have the right documents, but here they are talking. So, I mean, talk to us a little bit about the right to vote, how important it is, and then we can talk about the three ways that we can vote.
Certainly. So we went on a public education campaign this year in the high schools. We really wanted to try to drive that turnout up. We looked at turnout going from the 18 to 25-year-olds all the way to 65 and older. And what we found was that the 18 to 25-year-olds were voting maybe 20% turnout in an election, and maybe 60% in a presidential election.
Which is very sad, knowing how many people died to give it the right,
exactly,
give us the right to vote.
Whereas the 65 and older, they vote in the 90 percentile in that age bracket. So I went to every single high school in Brevard County, and we launched a program called Your Vote is Your Voice. And we tried to educate them, and we kind of joked and said, you're letting the senior citizens make all the decisions for you. If you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. And you got plenty of 18 to 25-year-olds who are unhappy with the way things are in the country one way or the other, but they're not showing up and exercising the right to vote. And I would say that, you know, all of the age groups really, really need to focus on that, especially in primary elections. Primary elections, which a lot of races are decided, judicial races, sometimes city council races. The last year, 2 years ago, the mayor of Palm Bay was elected in the primary election.
And sometimes it's a handful of votes.
We only had 28% turnout in that election, and it was out of four candidates.
And why do you think it's that? Because I take voting very seriously. I find, like, I want to get involved. And I know a lot of people like me, but then I know some people who just don't care. And then they complain about daycare and the amount of children in their teachers' classrooms. And they complain about the road or Heritage Parkway has no lights or something. And I'm like, well, do you vote? Do you know who's on your city council? No. Well, you should. Everything starts local.
It does. I always tell people the further down the ballot you go, the more those candidates touch your everyday life. You know, how much are people affected by the president or the governor or who's in Tallahassee versus your city council members, your county commissioners, your school board members?
Yeah, your drainage. You
know, we have school board
members. There's a flood and it's draining. You can't complain on that day.
Exactly. You look at school board members. Sometimes school board members are elected in the primary election where they don't even advance to the general. And again, 28% turnout. So I have this analogy that I use. Have you all seen the movie Jaws?
Yes.
And then you have the Jaws 2, the sequel. Did you notice that the mayor in Jaws 2 is still the mayor from Mayor of Jaws 1?
Yes.
Despite all his terrible decisions, clearly people are not turning out to vote in the mayor's election in Jaws. And I like to use that analogy because, you know, it's turnout is so critical. And the number one reason I hear is that my one vote's not going to make a difference. You know, what is my one vote? Well, I can tell you over the 37 elections that I've conducted, I've had three elections with an exact tie in a race. And most recently, we had this in the 2024 West Melbourne City Council race. We had an exact tie between the fifth and sixth place candidates because it was a vote for five. And so we did what we always do. We do our recounts and audits and so forth.
And according to Alexa, you are very efficient about checking everything.
We do.
Yeah.
And so here's the very interesting story is on the 10th, it was a tie vote. And on the 10th day after the election, which is the deadline for overseas military and civilian ballots to come in, we got one ballot in on the last day.
And that was the tiebreaker.
And it broke the tie.
Right.
But the heartbreaking story is the losing candidate, who was very gracious, was very confident in our process, his 18-year-old daughter came up to us after the meeting and said that she registered to vote but didn't get a chance to get out and vote.
Oh.
And she would have been the one vote for her dad to at least bring it to a tie.
Wow. She must have really felt awful. Well, the one great thing about this supervisor of elections office here in Brevard is I love the way your office is committed to conducting a fair and efficient elections for us. And you have a lot of transparency. And your website, whoever made that website, it's so easy to navigate. Everything is there. Because a lady at the gym said, well, how do I know which candidates are running for office? I said, simple, go on the website. It's all there. So talk to us a little bit about how do you handle the voter registrations and the updates? As you say, like when somebody turns 18, they need to be added to the roll. When someone passes away, they have to be taken off. Because you hear oftentimes people say, oh, yeah, dead people are voting. Not in Brevard.
No, not in Brevard, not in Florida.
To take them off right away.
We have very, very robust list maintenance processes that we follow here in Brevard County. And they're state laws, so all of the counties are following the same laws. You know, when it comes to deceased voters, we get that information daily sometimes from the, from the Florida Department of State. We get that information. I can tell you my father passed away almost 3 years ago in Tampa, and it was on a Saturday. And my mother and I went in, I think it was Monday or Tuesday afterwards, to make sure that he was taken off the voter rolls. We had the death certificates, and they had already done it.
Yeah.
They had already received the information that quickly. Now, it is more challenging when somebody passes away in another state and when they move and update their address. Our office is usually the last a government agency people think about. And a lot of people think, well, I've moved from New York or I've moved from California. You're the government. You just automatically know that I should be voting here now. And in Florida, you have to be registered 29 days before an election in order to be able to vote in the election. So,
rules. So people better listen up. You can't be complaining after the fact when it's written on the website. So we've got people who can walk in and vote on Election Day. You have the mail-in and the absentee vote.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about the process of the absentee and the absent vote and the mail-in voting.
So there are three methods. So first off, we have vote by mail, and anybody can request a vote by mail ballot, have it mailed to you. You can vote in the comfort of your own home. You fill out the ballot. You have plenty of time to do all the research you want. And then you simply put that envelope in a secrecy sleeve, put it back into the return envelope that we provide you. You don't even have to pay for postage. We cover the cost and the postage. You simply drop it in the mail, or you can bring it to one of our four administrative offices, or we have secure ballot intake stations at our early voting sites.
And you have to be signed up at the Supervisor of Elections
yes,
office.
Yes, so you
for
have
that.
To request a mail ballot. And one thing that, you know, we really are trying to get the message out is you have to request a ballot for every election cycle. So if you requested a mail ballot and you voted by mail in 2024 in the presidential election, but you have not renewed your request since then, you need to go to votebrevard.gov and click on that mail ballot request and fill out a new request. Because the legislature made that change a couple of years ago that you have to do it every
year. Yeah, because we're voting in November.
Exactly.
There's a lot of races.
August.
And the August. Governor's race.
Yeah, we have August and November.
Yes, right.
And so we'll have some critical elections. Now, just a reminder, Florida is a closed primary state. So if you want to vote for Republican candidates, you have to be registered Republican. Go vote for Democrat candidates, registered Democrat, all 29 days before. However, there are still races for all the other, whether you're no party affiliation or minor party, there are still races to vote on. You have judicial races, you have city council races, you have school board races. These are all nonpartisan races. So a lot of times I hear, oh, well, it's a primary election. I don't have anything to vote for. And I would say that's absolutely not correct. You have some critical races to vote on.
Yeah. That's when you want to say to somebody, really? You know? So I'm going to ask Kimberly a quick question. Let's give Mr. Tim a little break. What are some of the challenges you guys experience on Election Day?
On Election Day, I would say contending with potential misinformation out in the community and trying to get the correct information out to the voters. And we do that through the website. We do that through our social media sites. And Tim is always out on Election Day. So he is talking to people. And if he gets questions while he's out, he'll address them right there at the polls.
Yeah. And Mr. Bobamic, do you ever get any machine, like the equipment failures? I've never heard of many here in Brevard.
No, I mean, we just recently upgraded all of our voting equipment in the past year. You know, we had been using the same equipment through the 24 elections that we bought back all the way in 2013. So our equipment was finally old enough to be retired, and now we have brand new equipment. We ran a lot of that equipment in our special elections that we had last year in the state Senate and state House races. And we had excellent track record. We didn't have any jam, you know, issues. I mean, you're going to get an occasional paper jam. You're going to get everything. But all of our election workers out in the field there are trained to handle all of these situations. Every location has multiple pieces of voting equipment. So if a tabulator gets jammed up, something is damaged on it, there's an alternate one to use there at all times. And, you know, we implemented that a few years ago to have that redundancy. And so it's very few and far between, but we're always prepared for it.
Right. And there's got to be voter initiatives here in Brevard to get out the vote. Like, what initiatives can your office have to get more people to vote? Because I am amazed at the turnout, especially in a local race. And I'm like, why? Why would you allow other people to make the decisions for you when you have a lot of beef to grind? You're talking all these things about, you know, your children and what's happening with health insurance and HOAs and your rent is high and whatever, but they don't come out to vote.
And I tell people there is something on the ballot that matters to you, that touches your everyday life, whether it is social, government, taxes, you know, military, anything like that whatsoever. You know, we're going to have a half-cent sales tax renewal on the ballot this year for the Save Arden River Lagoon. We're going to have some referendums. There's talk about property tax referendums that having a special session. So there's something on the ballot for everybody.
Yeah, life is politics.
It is.
Whether they want to hear it or not, from the type of diaper that they put on you when you're a baby in the hospital till the brief they put on you in the nursing homes where I work, somebody's making it, somebody's profited from it, you know, profiting from it. Where is it going? Which landfill? You know, who's dressing that body? I mean, what contracts did you have, Medicaid, Medicare, to take care of the person before they... It's all government.
It is. And that's why it's so important. You know, we send out the sample ballot to every single voter so that they have a chance to review the candidates, the questions and the issues, and then find something that aligns with, you know, with their beliefs and with their values. And but you have to take the time to do the research. You know, my office doesn't provide information on candidates other than what they supply and everything. You have to go to the candidates' own websites to learn about where they stand. You know, my office is always very nonpartisan. We don't try to guide anybody one way or the other. We just simply provide your ballot, make sure that it's
And you would find it if a grandfather and a grandmother is voting, then their children would vote, then their children would. It's like a family thing. A lot of people don't have those values instilled and ingrained in their family behavior so that the children don't see it.
Oh, I can tell you right now, if I missed an election while I was still living at home or lived in Tampa, then mom would be like, you're not coming over for dinner tonight. You are expected to show up and vote.
Well, she took it seriously.
She took it very seriously,
right.
Yes.
And we also have a lot of people who feel that because they're disabled, they're disenfranchised. I'm sure your office, the supervisor of election office in Brevard, you have made provisions for that.
Absolutely. So we have... recently, we have introduced an ADA accessible mail ballot. So you can get the mail ballot sent to you, and we have a system that will use screen readers and ADA technology to help you cast that ballot. Now, for those voters who show up at either early voting or election day, we have a machine called an express vote that will take a paper ballot and make it into a touchscreen that has Braille keypads. It allows voters with disabilities to completely and independently vote on their own. It even has connections for a sip and puff device, so if somebody is paraplegic, we can have them come right up to the machine.
Amazing.
And they can actually vote all completely independently on their own, and they get to cast a paper ballot just like everybody.
Yeah. What about the voters here in Brevard who needs assistance with language barriers?
So by law, we are required to print our ballots in English and Spanish. So all of our materials is in English and Spanish, and our website has a Google Translate feature that will translate any page on the website to any language that you can conceive of. There's languages on there I've never even heard of before. We were looking at them earlier today. So, you know, we do have that ability, and that English and Spanish is a statewide requirement. All 67 counties must provide all voting materials.
Yeah. And I'm sure that you all, you go from high school to high school, plus the DMV, plus, the website is great. What other initiatives are you taking for younger people to get out to vote?
We're getting ready for National Voter Registration Day, and we're talking to Eastern Florida College as well as Florida Tech. And so we always like to go out to the colleges as well. We'll have booths and tables set up. And then, you know, this is where I really ramp up my speaking circuit. I have been going and giving speeches 2 to 3 times a week for the last couple of weeks, going on radio shows, like yours, and it's just I'm always out in the community trying to spread the message about getting ready for elections.
And do you see a lot of challenges faced by communities that are marginalized?
No, I say it's very easy to vote because we have our three methods of voting. We have, you know, mail ballot, we have early voting, and then we have election day. So, you know, there's really not an excuse that you can give me that makes sense that tells me that there wasn't one way that you could.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You've been so helpful. Tell us the website for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. There are so many questions. I just love being an American, and I love to vote. And I haven't missed a local, state, or national one ever in my life.
So our website is votebrevard.gov, and everything that you need to know about voting here in Florida and in Brevard County can be found on that, votebrevard.gov.
That's awesome. And thank you so much for all the great information. We will share it on all of our websites. Kim, thank you so much for joining us today, as well as Sita, wonderful guests again. Another great week and a great episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We will see you next week right here on 1510 WWBC. Right here, 1 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, I hope we got everything in, Danny. Did you take any seconds from us?
Nope.
No? Okay, good.
Nope. Thanks again, folks. We'll tune in next week.